Hello, this is Georgia bankruptcy attorney Jeff Kelly, and today I want to talk to you about timeshare hell and bankruptcy. Man, timeshares and bankruptcy, what a pain. Okay, so here's the deal. Let's say you owe $20,000 on a timeshare, you want to file Chapter 7, and you want to be done with this doggone thing, and so we file, and you owe XYZ mortgage company on the timeshare, and the debt's wiped out, okay? The mortgage company is never going to be able to sue you, garnish you, or anything like that on your timeshare, okay? But here's the problem. They're going to come after you for the maintenance fees if that thing doesn't get foreclosed on. Now, I know how the timeshare thing works. You know, somebody offers you a free vacation. So you go down there, and they got that really super slick, good-looking and gorgeous salespeople who put on the pressure. So you sign the dotted line thinking you're going to get this great vacation for the rest of your life. But the truth is, what you've really got is a maintenance cost that's going to last forever, unless you can sell that timeshare or somehow get it into somebody else's name. So let me give you an example of how the timeshare nightmare can play out in bankruptcy. Let's say a married couple owns a timeshare, free and clear, but they want to get away from these maintenance costs. And so they file Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and they're attempting to surrender the timeshare to the HOA association that's in charge of collecting the maintenance fees. And, you know, the fees that occurred prior to the filing of the case, those are wiped out. But then the case gets discharged. Tick tock, tick tock. The fees start adding up. A few years down the road, the Timeshare Association files a lawsuit against this Georgia couple to collect on the post-petition maintenance costs. In this scenario, the Georgia couple, nice couple, they're going to be stuck owing all of these post-petition maintenance costs, because the title of the timeshare never transferred just because they listed it in their bankruptcy petition. So in this particular case, they're going to be on the hook for these timeshare maintenance fees until, like I said earlier, they sell it or talk somebody into taking it off their hands in exchange for paying all of the future timeshare maintenance fees. Hopefully, their bankruptcy attorney explained this to them before they filed their case. What a nightmare. There are cases where people have, you know, they filed bankruptcy 5 years ago. 5 years later, they pop up. Guess what? You owe those maintenance costs. And a lot of people say, well, why? You know, what is up with that? How can this outrageous result happen? And the reason is because the bankruptcy code says so. It's section 523A16. Okay. Some, you know, bankruptcy attorneys may argue that it doesn't cover timeshares, but only covers condominiums. But I think timeshares are covered by this section. And the only way you're going to get out of it is if the timeshare is structured as like some type of point system or something like that. But it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out over the years, because in the past, timeshare maintenance costs haven't really been super expensive. But, you know, now these units are starting to get old and they're starting to fall apart. And when that happens, the association is going to have to start replacing roofs. They're going to have to start replacing floors. They're going to have to start replacing parking lots. And this is going to cost a lot of money. And guess who's going to pay for it? The people who own the timeshares. And they're going to pay it in the form of maintenance cost. So a lot of times what you're going to see is the mortgage company goes away. They don't care. There's no way they're going to foreclose on this thing because they don't want to take ownership of the timeshare. They don't want to be on the hook for the maintenance cost. So they're just going to leave it rocking on in your name. Now, with some of the larger timeshare companies, I have seen this where, you know, we're in a Chapter 13 or in a Chapter 7, and the association will say, hey, sign it over to us. You give us the interest back, and we're happy. And when that happens, man, we jump all over that. You know, if you're an active Chapter 13 case, we've got to file a motion with the court, or if it happens before your Chapter 7 is discharged, again, there's got to be, file a motion to transfer a timeshare to the local association. I don't think a bankruptcy court is ever going to deny this, unless for some strange reason that timeshare actually has some monetary value. Now, in my personal opinion, none of the timeshares have value unless it's, you know, some really super expensive company at a really super awesome fancy resort. It's just, as a general rule, it's just not going to contain value. So, what do you do if you have a timeshare and you're wanting to file Chapter 7 and you're wanting to wipe everything out? Number one, make sure it's listed in your Chapter 7 or Chapter 13. Make sure it's disclosed. And in that section, you know, just go ahead and file that your intention is to surrender it. And maybe your bankruptcy attorney can contact the association if you have a phone number for them and offer to them, hey, look, we'd like to, you know, we're in a bankruptcy case. We'd like to sign this over to you. My guess is if it's a pretty decent homeowners association or timeshare association, they're going to want that fractional ownership back because they can resell it someday, and they don't want to have to chase people. As a general rule, I'm betting they don't want to have to spend a lot of time and money chasing people down to collect those maintenance costs. They'd probably rather just own it and sell it for somebody that really wants it. But again, make sure you list it, make sure it's disclosed, and don't go into a Chapter 7 thinking that it's going to absolve you from any future costs, because it's not, unless you get that thing signed back over. If you've got any questions, don't hesitate to send an email, jeff@kellycanhelp.com, or you can give us a call at 706-295-0030. If you get a chance, check out my website. It's www.kellycanhelp.com. Thank you.